Blog Talk Radio. brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. We are back. Indeed, we are back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edemia. Yes, indeed, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again to perform the very precious and important service that He has commanded me and I must perform. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has told me that I have a very important service for Him to do. And He told me that because of what I must do, He said to me that I would accrue indeed some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me, yes, He told me, that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, that I would have His protection. Yes. His protection. What more does one need? And His guidance. There's only one Savior. And He told me, my brothers and sisters, that indeed, what I must do for Him is this. For He told me that I must tell you things. Yes, He told me I must tell you things which men have done everything they could since the dawn of human thought to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Most High sends prophets. Yes, He sends prophets to expressly perceive by His Spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it. To bring all things to remembrance, that indeed the light, I said that indeed the light must shine. The Most High, yes indeed, my brothers and sisters, the Most High sends prophets to speak, yes indeed, to speak what others would not. And I dare to say that tonight's show will be one in which you will hear words. Yah willing, you will hear words, you will hear truths that likely you have never before heard. You will hear concerning prophecies that are written, my brothers and sisters, that few have sought to discern for the full content of their meaning. But there are many, my brothers and sisters, that would comfort you in vain, cause you to seek exaltation and what is merely the commercialized presumptuousness of men who seek compromise in the word rather than the truth of it. But it's always been true, my brothers and sisters, always has it been true. So we must receive what indeed is the engrafted word of the Most High. In the book of Yaakov talks about that engrafted word we must receive unto the salvation of our souls. Discerning what is the salvation of the soul, we must also then consider, my brothers and sisters, what is the whole word? The very word for salvation has to do with what is necessary to be made complete, perfect before the Most High, true to Him in all things. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, to seek anything less is treachery against the faith. To desire that any form of compromise against the truth be yet called viable is to say that there's more than one Savior. It is to deny the Most High the authority as King and Judge, Sovereign, true to all that He is. There are those, amazingly enough, however, who see a world divided by some 45,000 Christianities. Ha ha. 45,000 different denominations. Under the constraints of some 280 plus and counting nations. And for some reason, even though it is written, Hear, O Israel, the Most High is one, after the multitude of diverse institutionalities, diverse sense of both partial and polluted conscience, neglect, my brothers and sisters, that blinds men not to understand how often it is that men have created curses and divisions against the faith. Many, my brothers and sisters, just look upon all these divisions and say that there's nothing wrong. As if there has not been a falling away. My brothers and sisters, do you really think that when the Spirit spoke to the churches of old, it was unto a multitude of different churches under different authority? Why do you think the scripture says, He who has ears doesn't hear what the Spirit says to the churches? It is that the people all be one. It is not, I repeat, it is not after the conversation, the diverse ideals of men, that humanity shall be delivered. It's not after the diverse concepts of men, my brothers and sisters, after a multitude of pollutions, that anyone prepares for the kingdom of Yah. Nor is it after a multitude of diverse ideals, my brothers and sisters, that anyone is allowed or will be allowed into the holy temple. In fact, my brothers and sisters, quite frankly, I find it amazing that people feel that the kingdom of Yah, the king and his kingdom and his temple, amazingly men have acted as if to believe as if in such a thing that's so heavily consecrated unto the will of one, that there is no law. I find that, my brothers and sisters, truly, truly an amazing thing that so many have believed that, as if to say salvation is without a law. All conforming unto the will of one is without a law. As if to say that peace does not have a law unto order. As if to say, my brothers and sisters, amazingly enough, that holiness does not demand a law. That all being true to one, amazingly enough, does not demand a law? That is amazing, my brothers and sisters, that so many could dare to say this. But remember, the Roman Empire was many nations under many diverse kings, many different cultures and traditions and ideals that they sought to preserve. And Messiah spoke it well when he said, the spirit of truth, the world will not receive. Meaning that the nations of this world who all sought to maintain their own ideals would not receive the truth, but would seek to subjugate it after the ideals of their own rulers, not only subjugating those who would keep the faith after some partiality of pollution, but even seeking to subjugate Yah under themselves. But they said they were not under his law. What are they saying? That they are above it? If man says he's not under are subject to the law of the Most High, unwilling to submit himself to the Spirit of the Most High. The Scripture says, if you walk according to the flesh, how about the misruling flaw, false standards of the flesh, the reprobate flesh, you will die. Look at Romans 8. It says, if you humble yourself, how about submit yourself, subdue yourself by the Spirit, you will live. The scriptures tell us the law of the Most High is spiritual. And the law is just and good of men administer it justly. How about according to the fullness that word for just is righteousness? The law is just and good if men deal with it justly. My brothers and sisters, isn't it time we discern beyond the deceit Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Some texts, like I told you, my brothers and sisters, say the law is just, good, and holy if men deal with it justly, lawfully. What else does this mean, my brothers and sisters? Some men say they deal righteously, justly, lawfully, after the mindset or conscience of another. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. Scripture says, I find that amazing because there are those who don't want to believe that. In fact, there are those who want to say that, I had somebody recently I heard say that the wages of sin in the great white throne judgment will be life. As if men could walk according to their insane imaginings all their lives, never receive into their souls the engrafted word, that never is their conscience in them worthy of being redeemed or worthy of being made whole or worthy of the resurrection or the resurrection unto life. There are those, my brothers and sisters, they have not considered that scriptures tell us that whoever defiles the temple, Yah will destroy it. Why, my brothers and sisters? Because a defiled temple is not a temple unto him. Well, we have a lot to talk about when the scriptures talk about such things as the stone which the builders have rejected become the chief stone of the corner. A lot to consider, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. But, you know, I'm going to talk for a moment about this concept. Because, I mean, it's just something to think about. Like I said, I heard a pastor the other day say that he believes in the great white throne judgment. Mentioned in Revelation 20, which is corollary to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38, after the tribes are regathered. Ezekiel 37, under the one king. And the scripture is talking about the same thing that's in Ezekiel 38. It speaks of the similitude in Revelation 20. And it speaks of the nations coming against Jerusalem. This is all on earth, my brothers and sisters. This is all on earth. And scriptures talk about those who had partaken in the first resurrection. The righteous that partook of the first resurrection, and the rest will have to wait after 1,000 years. I think people need to ask the question, why were some people not part of that first resurrection? You ever stop to consider the Most High already knows those who are his? Then it says there's going to be a great white throne judgment. It says, but before that judgment, the scriptures speak about the nations being cited against Jerusalem, the people who have dwelt in peace during the millennial reign, Messiah himself sitting upon the throne. Yes, indeed, for 1,000 years. Look at all the scriptures together in Revelation 20 and in Ezekiel 38 and understand. This is all at the end of the millennial, at the end of the millennial reign. At the end of that initial 1,000 years. And what you will find, my brothers and sisters, it talks about such things as the nation that come against Jerusalem, the fire from on high will come down to consume them all. Ezekiel speaks of very much the same type of scenario. And it talks about the armies that sought to come against Jerusalem. It talks about it would be 7 years burying the dead bodies. Do people really believe that souls possessed by devils? Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Soul possessed by devils, never having proven mind, body, and soul to have a great love for Yah, under the subduing of the flesh. And when I say mind, body, and soul, remember what Messiah said. He said, if your eye caused you to offend, it's better for you to pluck it out. Then to have your whole body cast into hell. Or how about Gehenna fire? What it means, my brothers and sisters, is that all your being must be consecrated unto divine purpose. And the soul, my brothers and sisters, that attains to that subduing of the flesh shall have the great gift that the scriptures call the inheritance of the land. The inheritance of the land, what is it? What is the salvation of the soul? How many have really considered what it means? Yes, it does mean that man must seek that all his being be delivered from servitude to whoever it is that would deceive, bribe, coerce, distract, misinfluence the mind after false doctrine, false instruction, causes men to bring forth then, my brothers and sisters, what the scripture calls vain, dead works. Vain, dead, empty, insufficient, unacceptable, worthless, double-minded works, not true unto the will of one, not purely after his instruction. The soul, my brothers and sisters, must understand what the scriptures mean when it says, excuse me, who shall ascend into the hills of the Most High? But who has clean hands and a pure heart, does not lift up his excuse me, soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Wow. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that is discerned beyond all the misconceits of this world? That is not sworn deceitfully. In other words, what I mean by this, not sworn himself over to a false concept of deity that many have been blinded to think was true unto Yah. Think about when scripture says, those who believed in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. 2,000 years ago, many thought that they were serving the Most High. When they found out that their rulers had rejected the Prince of Glory, even under Roman rule, under Roman appointment, were complicit in the murder of the Lord of Glory. Many realized they needed, then they realized it, a need to transcend the unrighteousness of their rulers. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, wherever there is among the people, rulers, who would not be true unto all the Most High has declared, who have made their avocations a god to them, that they make it also a god over you, a false god over you. There are truths unto which their souls are blind, even if it was spoken to them. These truths they have not been compelled to listen to or to heed diligently unto repentance. Why? All because of the greed and the hardness of their hearts. Read Isaiah 56 and 9 through 57 and 1. Some so greedy, so predisposed after what exalts their own ideals, that they will not hear and discern fully what is the righteousness of Yah, the spirit of truth, the worldly, those whose designs and priorities are first after this world. There's a dimension of truth they will not understand. Heaven help us, my brothers and sisters, to be better than this. Heaven help us and grant us the opportunity to consider and understand that we must consider it a great blessing to have an opportunity to prove ourselves diligent unto divine will and purpose. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Diligent to prove that we are true to divine will and purpose. Thankful for indeed what is divine instruction. And what I mean by that is, think about it. When the scriptures tell us not all have heard the preaching of the gospel, not all have heard the word and sought it by faith, not all then have understood the word after the inspiration of the Most High. When the scripture says faith comes by hearing a word from Yah, Not all have understood, my brothers and sisters. Not all have understood why the scripture says that we're scattered among the nations, among multitudes of denominations. Hey, where there's so much debate and doubt, lacking wisdom, lacking discretion. Scripture didn't say ask the pastor, it said ask Yah. Like the Most High told me. He said, think about it. The scripture says the double-minded man. He said, the double-minded man, let him not think he receive anything from you. Meaning that the Most High will not build his kingdom upon any of this fragility, infirmity, if you will, that men so quickly exalt. Like the Most High told me, in terms of seeking him. He told me, whatever I hear or read anything else from men, check it out with him first and see if somebody make a fool of me. He said to me directly, hey, mama says this, daddy says that, grandpa, grandpappy, pastor, priest, rabbi, elder, hey, they all have something different to say about me. But he said to me, if I want to know him, why can't I ask him and believe that he could answer? Think about what he said the renewal of a covenant with him is, beyond all the misconceits of the nation when you read Jeremiah 30-31. He says he will write his law upon the minds and hearts. Didn't say he's going to lead people subject to whoever. He said the renewal of the covenant is that he will write his laws upon the minds and hearts, that we be his people. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, 45,000 different forms of denominations and pastorages, if you want to call them that, will not heal the people unto the will of the one. But in so many words, my brothers and sisters, is a curse against faith, because the faith, my brothers and sisters, even the gospel is under oneness. But my brothers and sisters, it's not possible to have 45,000 divisions in the gospel. It's not possible to have 45,000 divisions under the Holy Kingdom. It's not possible to have 45,000 divisions, my brothers and sisters, different forms of rulerships, 280-odd nations constraining the word, and any of this in such a form be true to the King. I pray that many of you will understand this. So tonight, yes indeed, tonight, as we begin to prepare, the Feast of Tabernacles. Like I said, think about it. The scriptures talk about that. Well, it's like I said, some people say that this is just going back to a point I went away from and need to come back to for a moment. Talk about those people at the great throne judgment. He says, some of this I've heard a pastor say, the great throne judgment. At that time, all who have ever lived will then be given opportunity unto life. Wow. Opportunity unto salvation. Okay. These are souls that retain the concepts of devils all their lives. Rebellious against the truth. Lying to the people. Because they were not direct at the time that they lied. They certainly weren't directed by the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes men will seek to compromise the word so as to appeal to the status quo. And the book of Jacob, they call James, said that too. Talk about not watching out lest you compromise the word. He said you should control your tongue lest there be great condemnation. Like I said, men complicit after the ways of the nations are not true to the will of the one. I think about those scriptures talking about the bodies of those that would be somewhat. 7 years in the burying. Are these granted opportunity to make a choice at the great white throne judgment between life and the inheritance of the land and the fire? Really? Another thing needs to be considered about the salvation of the soul, because like I said, I want to come back to this point. Many have not understood that many times when the Bible speaks of a soul, it's definitely not talking about your spirit. Scripture talking about the Holy Spirit, or even the Word of the Spirit, the Word of Yah, discerning between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Two different. Able to tell the thoughts and intents of the heart. The spirit of a man is his conscience. The spirit of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, also teaches the heart of man. And the question is whether man is diligent to hear the word of the Most High and conform to that word or not. And that makes the judgment as to whether the thoughts and intents of the heart are to serve him or not. Okay. Between soul and spirit. Many times the scriptures speak about soul. Actually, the word there relates to his physical body. It talks about the inheritance of the land. How can you inherit the land and you don't have a body in which to dwell? Okay, think about it, my brothers and sisters. Abraham was promised the land. What profiteth a man if he gain the whole world and lose his, how about that physical body in which he will have opportunity to dwell in a holy kingdom on earth? And think about it. The anticipation is not unto kingdoms after the diversitudes of this polluted, indecisive, debate-filled, indiscriminate, and in so many ways irreverent, confident in vain after a multitude of foolish rulers' world. The preparation is not unto the kingdom of this age, kingdoms, the multitude of kingdoms of this age, but preparation for a holy kingdom, my brothers and sisters, the kingdom that the scriptures speak of, that if a man blaspheme the Holy Spirit, he should not be forgiven unto that kingdom, not in this world or the next. The kingdom which the scriptures speak of, when it talks about in Matthew 5:14-24, that if any man walks after those who deny the law and the prophets, they shall not enter that kingdom. In no case shall they enter the kingdom. my brothers and sisters. No case shall they enter the kingdom of the King. No case shall they enter the kingdom of Yah. That means to enter the kingdom of Yah, you must surpass whoever it is that would teach any man a false doctrine. But that possibility, that saving faith, beyond all the miscommunications and misconversation of men, the deceitfulness of men is possible not necessarily through men, but through Yah. There are those who lie against the very purpose of the coming Messiah, or what Messiah did. Messiah said, in effect, he said, there are many things I love to tell you, but you cannot comprehend them, receive them, till the comfort of the Holy Spirit has come. What's the Holy Spirit do? Teach all things, no lie in. How about teach the word rightly? To the reproof of all that is sin. How about all false doctrine and misinterpretation, misunderstanding? That's to the most diligent and humble soul. That would preserve the integrity of a word. That's what's written in, what, Yohanan 14:15-17? He said, you're my friends in 15:14. If you do everything that I command. He didn't say he revealed himself to those who had no desire for the integrity of a word. Why should he reveal himself to someone who would be presumptuous, who has no respect for the integrity of his authority? It's all there. Okay, so consider what this means, my brothers and my sisters. We have a lot more reason to be diligent unto his name than most can even begin to imagine. For the soul that will be redeemed is the soul that will find salvation, is the soul that shall be resurrected, reconstructed, find full restitution, being recreated to inherit the land, and the great day, my brothers and sisters, when him he who comes for the time of resurrection appears. He will raise up the souls of men. And we're not talking about just the raising up of a conscience. The book of Yah, in the book of Job. He talks about his bones should take on sinew. Ezekiel 37, shall these dry bones, shall they live? Messiah spoke often of the resurrection. Some of them don't believe. But nevertheless, my brothers and sisters, we have to ask ourselves a question. Since some folks have actually gone as far as to say that every soul that ever lived will one day have a chance for life. I can talk to you about scriptures, my brothers and sisters, in 2 Kings, where those who built temples and idolatrous imaginations, symbols, if you will, unto unrighteousness, not only were their temples torn down, did you hear me? Not only were their temples torn down, but quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, went one step further than this. Their idolatrous images were also torn down, burned. Well, some scriptures even relate the idea about their bones being burned and then ground to dust. Is that, my brothers and sisters, unto a resurrection? Is that unto the reconstitution of one's physicality, unto the inheritance of a holy kingdom? Or shall it simply be, my brothers and sisters, many should not be able to enter into it or disturb anything in it, because they will have no physicality in which to do so. I mean, you know, I'm looking at these things, my brothers and sisters, I'm being very real about it, because there's a lot of things that need to be said. Have men not considered what is the punishment for sin? He said the wages of sin is death. He who dies without the law perishes without the law. If there was going to be another time in life, and like I said, there's only one judgment to the wicked, the great white throne judgment. Scripture says they have to wait till after the resurrection, the first resurrection. If these, my brothers and sisters, all this transgression is unto light, what do men say is the salvation of men? Like I said, is there more than one salvation? I really don't think so, my brothers and sisters. In fact, I know that that simply is not the case. I pray, my brothers and sisters, that many shall wake up. Wake up and discern the truth. And realize the reality. If you want to be part of that first resurrection, you seek to be, if you are to perish at all, because I've got news for you, some folks will walk straight from this age into the next and shall not die. It's not, my brothers and sisters, it won't be necessary for all to perish before they move into the kingdom. Because I know some people sit and talk about that. Well, I think it's amazing. Some people actually talk about rapture doctrine, which is another lying doctrine. And they talk about folks, hey, in the rapture, going up to the sky, and then having coming back down to a physical body again after the rapture. Well, they've been up in heaven for so long. Because they say that other folks will be dealing with the great tribulation. My brothers and sisters, I got news for you. Everyone who gains a white robe will have to come out of great tribulation. And we need to talk about that too. In other words, most don't even realize that any time man is subject to any conscience other than that of Yah, that's exactly what the Most High told me. Anytime anybody is subject to any conscience other than that of the Most High, it is tribulation. It is provocation. It is temptation. It is instability. It is man contending against man. Coming out of great tribulation, my brothers and sisters, think about it. The scriptures talk in Galatians about those who trouble the souls. And it means those who seek to destabilize men from the faith. Meaning that if any time man is subject to other than the gospel of the kingdom, the pure, perfect word from above, it is trouble, it is tribulation. The Most High told me if any time man is subject to any conscience other than his, it is tribulation, it is trouble, it is unrest, it is not peace. It's not, at that time, a matter of man being true to the gospel. So blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will seek to understand all these things. Because there's a lot to discern if we are to be wise. Yes, during our lifetime, we must seek the Most High for all that is true to prove that we love his instruction by hearing it to obey it, to prove that we be steadfast unto him, acceptable. Because Most High once told me that if we could obey him in the midst of this insane world, or one is more likely to be thrown in jail for running a red light if there's only one somebody on the road for 10 miles around, heaven help us. And somehow somebody gets the officer, somebody sees that he's more likely to be running to jail or get a ticket for something like that when there's no other cars. And someone who does not, say for instance, seek to keep a Shabbat, therefore causing much provocation. Because the purpose of Shabbat is to seek the pure and perfect will of Yah, pure and completion, offering one choice. Multitude of impure standards, men not knowing his ways. Well, scripture says, this is people who shall not enter into his rest. There shall be no peace for a people who will not seek the fullness of his taste, the fullness of his law, the fullness of his righteousness. Scripture says, no peace to the wicked, or die even lawless. Those who resist divine instruction, those who prefer unrighteousness, less than the fullness of divine intent. He said there's no peace to them. He said, he swore in his wrath, they shall not enter into his rest who provoke him and do not seek the fullness of his will. That's why the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 55, 56, then 57, then 58 concerning the Shabbat and the feast. All these are times the Most High seeks to teach people the completion of his will that there might be peace. He said if we seek and keep his Shabbat, seeking the fullness of his will, not speaking idle, vain, empty, unacceptable, partial, polluted words, he said, then will we inherit the inheritance of Yahweh, our Father. And the mouth of the Most High has spoken it. That's the inheritance of the land of promise that is promised to those who keep his covenant. But the way they try to teach it with regard to Messiah's coming, they sit back and say, whether men have transcended these illusions or not, that yet were they delivered. That's like saying there's a multitude of saviors, and man can follow any demon he wants to. Messiah came that men receive the Spirit to be taught all things, no lie in it, that by that Spirit they may overcome the folly of the world and not to continually speak lies or the misconceit of any other. Like I said, you can dealing with a lot of folks who have this DDS degree, they call it, like they get out of these seminaries. And they take that degree and they'll take it to any daggum denomination they please. To teach whatever they think will get for them a job. And I've had some tell me exactly that. See, it's not about what the Lord said. They said to me, it was about them learning a profession. Just to preside over a church. To teach whatever the people want to hear. If they're willing to buy it, they're willing to sell it. That Babylon must fall, my brothers and sisters, that no man buys that worthless merchandise anymore. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who rather than seek the scriptures and seek the Most High directly for the fullness that he has said with a rational mind, they give themselves over to those who only seek to exploit them. But we were told in advance, faith comes by hearing a word from Yah. And that means if you're not hearing from him, you need to petition strongly that you do. With purpose in mind, to see beyond all illusion, not only for the salvation of your own soul, that you speak no lies, but for the greater good of all, for the redemption. Yes, the redemption of the people of the Most High, indeed, as a collective nation, made one. Anything else is unworthy. Because hear me, my brothers and sisters, the letters of all the apostles and prophets are not written to one man, but were written to the collective of the many, who by the Spirit would become one. That's why the scripture says, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not unto many different doctrines, but unto one. Pure and completion offers one choice. Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it. And that's why it says to the angel of the church, of the churches, this, you know, the various churches, seven churches, is mentioned in Revelation 2nd through 3rd. It says, really, it's a letter to the leaders of the church. That word angels there, I mean ministers. And tell the people these things. And guess what? It's actually a rebuke oftentimes of the pastors, letting them know the authority still belongs to Yah. And he said, if you, well, how about looking at Revelation 2, 6 to 3 and 6? And it talks about, I've not found your works perfect before your God. And it said, repent and go back and do the first work, unless I come against you with the sword of my mouth. It means that Messiah came for the express purpose. He said, if I do not go, the Comforter will not come. Saying to the Father, restore me to me the glory I have with thee before the world was made. He said this before going upon the state, that he might petition that all men be brought to the fullness of righteousness who seek him with a whole heart. Not so quick to fall for the trick of the nations, telling them that a multitude of pluralities will still make peace. He came that those who seek that fullness of righteousness might attain to it by the Spirit, since there weren't others teaching that fullness. And even if men heard the word of a man righteous, he said to him, he said concerning himself, he said, hey, many things I love to tell you, but you can't grasp them until the Comforter has come. Isaiah said, our Lord, who's heard the echoes of our voice, meaning you must have his Spirit to put your mind in a place of attunement unto atonement. One, same word. Who's ready to understand? But I have a lot to talk about tonight, brothers and sisters. And in fact, so much, it would be amazing, I tell you, if I did manage to speak all the things in the next 42 minutes that I wanted to get to. Because I'd like to look at a bit of scripture. At the intro page, I wrote, as we prepare for Sukkot, coming Holy Feast of Tabernacles, let us assuredly, humbly, and diligently prepare our souls for the hope of salvation. How about complete redemption? How about, my brothers and sisters, our souls for the hope of a dwelling place in a holy kingdom? Because indeed, the Feast of Tabernacles, in so many ways, should bring our minds to remembrance of what it was when Israel sought the protection, the guidance of the Most High, and find their way back to the Holy Name, safely back to the Holy Name, finally to dwell in a land and a kingdom of promise where the temple of the Most High should dwell. He says, for, think about it, we must prepare our souls for the hope of salvation. And if that was said many years ago, they told you wrong when they sit back and tell you if folks die and immediately there is what, a walk into the holy kingdom, the kingdom of the Father? My brothers and sisters, Daniel was told to rest in the earth till the end of days. Book of Acts, it talks about King David. They said he was still in his sepulcher to that very day. Scriptures don't talk about people dying and going up to heaven, my brothers and sisters, up in the sky. The redeemed were promised the land. Okay, so think about this, my brothers and sisters. For the temple, even the soul that was not founded, that perished without the law. Scriptures say he who dies without the law perished without the law in Romans 2. Think about it. Dies without the law. Okay, that's physical death. Perishes without the law. Is that perishing talking about just the physical death? Or is it talking about a perishing, even from the hope of redemption? He said, your righteousness must exceed that of the rulers, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. He was speaking to people a long time ago. Shall then they who walk after the misruling standards of the rulers still yet be redeemed? Still yet be made whole? One scripture says, by your perseverance, your patience, perseverance in the faith, seeking the fullness of the will of his will, shall you gain your souls. How about gain a physical body in which to dwell in the holy kingdom age? Heaven help us, my brothers and sisters. Why have the rulers not taught these things like they should have? For if they had, you would know that the only way the Holy Kingdom could be established in peace is if all other antagonistic kingdoms must fall. So there's something, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. There's something very powerful that must be considered. On the redemption of man. But efforts that men not discern that the pluralities we live in are against that holy kingdom. A lot of such doctrines have worked to destroy the true diligence of man. Luke 21:17, you should be hated by all men for my name's sake. How about for those who prefer unrighteousness shall not seek the covenant that the Most High has already confirmed between himself and his son. He said the covenant, which the promise was already confirmed of Yah and Messiah. From the beginning, that's an eternal one. Nobody has the right to change anything on it. That means it remains intact from the beginning. 21:18, but there shall not and have your head perish. In other words, shall remain to be to perish forever. And he was talking about a time in the first century of the church when Rome murdered millions. And he said, in your patience, how about perseverance in the midst of all this persecution? How many even want to think about those first four centuries when Rome murdered millions of the believers? Most don't want to think about it because it means the foundation you have now is a result of a corruption. He said, man, not in 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about because the world did not receive the truth of love, men were cast to a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, preferring unrighteousness till Messiah comes to expose the pretense in the last days. Meaning that there's an element of truth that men have continued to reject, staying upon a faulty foundation, like it said at Matthias, called in Matthew 7:13-28, even to this day. What do you think the scriptures mean when it says the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief stone of the corner? And that's the latter, that is definitely latter-day prophecy. Luke 21:19, in your patience, in your perseverance, in the midst of all this tribulation, shall you possess, how about gain your souls? He talked about what happened when Rome came in 70 AD and its great persecution continued thereafter. He said, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know the desolation thereof is nigh. And they were talking about that temple that was excellent at that time that Rome came in and destroyed in 70 AD. Time of brothers and sisters to understand Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive unto the nations, and Jerusalem shall be trod down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then there's a breaking of scrolls. I put it down, I need to go back and set this straight. But Luke 21:25 says there'll be signs of the sun and moon and stars. and upon earth the distress of nations. How many understand there's a break in the scroll there because there's a long period of time between that 78 AD event? Oh, yes. There's a long time between that 70 AD event and what happens in the very last days that they want to tell you is over there in Isaiah 13 about the fall of Babylon at the end of days. That they won't tell you has to do with what's in Isaiah 13 and Isaiah 24 through 27 chapter. Talking about the fall of all the pretenses in this world. And believe me, it is pretense. It is pretense to believe that a multitude of divided standing with truth of the Holy One. It's time to understand the real, my brothers and sisters. It's time to wake up past the illusions. It's time to think rationally. The scripture said, come, let us reason together. That means someone must have a testimony with which to reason with the people that those who are willing to accept his word are found beyond beastliness, rational reasoning. And many times, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of righteousness, humble men. Why is it, my brothers and sisters, they didn't tell you these things? How is it that these things have remained to so many yet unknown? Luke 21:25. Wow. Breaks and scrolls at Matthew 24:29, Mark 13:14, Luke 21:25. Revelation 6:12, 16:12, all speaking about that event in the latter days that all should have been looking for amongst the stones, if you will, of truth. That the nations continue to reject. Like that 24th verse, saying the times, it talks about how the times of the Gentiles must come to an end. Did they tell you that? It says all the nations where Israel has been scattered, or that have scattered the minds of his people. Most I must bring a full end to, that he correct his people justly. Talk about 30:10 through 11 of Jeremiah. Amongst those things, my brothers and sisters, not just one, but many, that the nations have refused to speak. Because if you knew these things, you know to seek for something greater than the rule of the kingdoms of this earth. This present age, many times they say the end of the world, it means the end of this age. The end of the age wherein a multitude of diverse ideals, not under the sovereignty of the one king, still have dominion over men. He said, go forth and teach all nations everything that he commands. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And if the nations are still yet a multitude of diverse nations and a multitude of different kings, what must he do in order to establish that kingdom? Hey, Isaiah 41, Malachi 3, Zechariah 10 and Zechariah 13 all speak about having to overthrow all the kings. All the priests, whoever it is that preaches partially in the law, whoever it is that sought to hide the truth from the people, whoever sought to distract the people so at the end they are not one. All the false prophets who prophesied or preached falsehood and a misexpectation must cast them down all, prove the folly in all their words that the nation's at peace. Should come to him, seek him, pursue his righteousness, and a glorious rest and peace, my brothers and sisters, shall indeed be made manifest in the earth in a time when the knowledge of Yah, the true knowledge of Yah, covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Let me move swiftly, my brothers and sisters. I tell you, there's so much still needs to be spoken. But I seek to lay a proper foundation for all my words, that men might discern them rightly. Like I said, we prepare for Sukkot, coming hold the Feast of Tabernacles. Let us assuredly, humbly, and diligently prepare our souls for the hope of salvation. I want you to understand, many times the Scripture speaks about the temple. Messiah said in one place, he said, if you destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. He was talking about the temple of his body. How many understand, brothers and sisters, that the Most High definitely speaks in terms of the physical temple, which is the body, and he also speaks about one that must be built. And believe me, the physical heart, mind, and soul must prepare for that one. Who shall ascend to the hills of the Most High? Psalm 24, but he has clean hands and a pure heart, not lift up his soul unto vanity, nor swear deceitfully. That means not after any of the pluralities of the nations. Receiving your righteousness from the Holy One of salvation. I did not say from the kings. For the King of glory, yes indeed, will be mighty in battle against whatever it is that dissuades his people. Matthew, Matthias 26:61. Fellow said, and this fellow said, I'm able to destroy, temple of the Messiah, was able to destroy the temple and to build it in 3 days. Hmm. 24:7. Thou hast destroyed the temple and builds it in 3 days. Some people say, save thyself. Rebuilding is also a matter of offering the idea about saving or making a thing whole. Mark 14:28, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple as made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another without hand, made without hands. He was talking about restoring himself. All my brothers and sisters, it's time to catch on to the understanding of the ancient Hebrew mind. Say that the temple, even the soul, then, which will not be founded upon the firmity which the Most High has decreed, shall not stand. I mean, my brothers and sisters, by this, not the physical body, nor your churches. I will explain that. Here discern, my brothers and sisters, what is the stone which even till now the builders have refused. Psalm 118 is very definite, without question, Latter-day prophecy. Talk about all nations standing against him, encompassed him round about to destroy him. Revelation 16th chapter, 12th through 21st verses, speak about the nations coming and gathering against Messiah. But he said, in the name of the Most High, according to the fullness of what is divine righteousness, for righteousness' sake, making war. He said, he, in the name of the Most High, according to all righteousness, he will destroy them, rebuke them. Let us look at this Psalm 18:22. So the stone which the builders refused will become the chief stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. This is the doing of the Most High, and it's marvelous in our eyes. In other words, it's beyond what this ordinary worldly expectation. This is the day which Yah has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. How about redeemed? How about made whole? Rejoice, joined together, blessed, made one in it. But the stone, I want you to understand, which the builders refused to become the chief stone. How many have understood what must come of the former temples and churches, which were not founded upon this self-same conscience? Why would the nations come against him if they knew him? This Babylonish system, my brothers and sisters, that has caused people to worship a counterfeit, not true to the will of Yah, the pure, perfect will of Yah, all such misconceits must be overthrown. How else shall the people of Yah be free from those who deceive? As we fast approach this Feast of Tabernacles, seeking to prepare ourselves for the Holy Kingdom, seeking also in the time the Most High has appointed to be made whole, we might confirm all that he has spoken, we might prove ourselves true to him. Let us consider, my brothers and sisters, what it means, and it says, when we speak of the idea about Psalm 118 as Latter-day Prophecy, which finally says, even in the Aramaic, It says, bind our festival possessions. That's the feast of the Most High, like an unbroken chain. You want to know what that is? You can find it at, there's a website called lamsabible.com. And like I said, look at the latter verses on 118 Psalms. Tehillim, Psalms 118. Check it out for yourself. It's there. They put down simply sacrifice, because many times when the English translators put it down, they didn't know how to equate that. You know, they equated the feast automatically with sacrifice. Didn't understand. So the feast is talking about the feast, the festival procession, not necessarily a physical, you know, burnt offering sacrifice. But, you know, that's the kind of thing they did, because they didn't want to talk about you keeping the feast of the Most High. You need to wake up, my brothers and sisters, and see the real. However, getting back, like I said about this Psalm 118, if nations despise the Most High or despise Messiah because they didn't have the same constant love for the same pure, perfect truth, despising righteousness, preferring unrighteousness, did not want to hear his reproof, is what is prophesied to be. What about that city of destruction, my brothers and sisters? That wicked city of confusion that is prophesied of the Messiah shall come to in Zephaniah 3rd chapter. It is also mentioned in the 24th chapter, 10 through 16 verses of Isaiah 24. Hey, you need to look it up in all the texts that use the Dead Sea Scrolls as a reference. NIV, NASB, RSV. Hey, they talk about that city. How about Isaiah 19, 18 through 25? It also talks about that city. A city of confusion that swears by the name of the Most High, but hypocritically after the ways and thoughts of the pagans. Why don't they talk about that? It says to that city, that five cities, the Haven, the symbolic of Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboiim, and Zoar. Genesis 10. Genesis 14th chapter? Yes. Yeah, Genesis 14th chapter. These made war with, Genesis 14 and 2, these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, Shemeber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Belah, which is Zoar. Wow. That's five cities. Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboiim, and Zoar. Five-city metroplex that was, the five-city metroplex that was Sodom and Gomorrah. That is likened also in Scripture many times as Harosheth of the Gentiles. Wow. Destruction of a multitude of nations divisive against the one Yah. Harosheth of the Gentiles, same place to call the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Decision. The hills of Megiddo, Armageddon. You ever stop to consider the scripture talks about comes one called the King of the East? And the scripture says in Isaiah 41, one called the righteous one from the east, like the rising sun that cast out all the darkness, will subdue and reprove all the kings at the hand of the Most High. Why don't they interlink all these things for you to understand it well? Because I sit back and I think about it a lot, my brothers and sisters, that there's a great truth that I see all the temples still rejecting. And the scripture says so it would be. The men find out one day that what they thought they had was without foundation. Why did they not tell you this? How many consider what manner of temple? The one called the Mashiach, the anointed of the Most High. Why don't men think about, why don't they think truly about the manner of temple he must build? If he had to build a temple, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says in Isaiah 44, it is because men, people have not discerned that what they trusted in has been falsehood. You ever stopped to hear to build a temple, my brothers and sisters, true unto Yah, shepherd his people unto the consciousness that the Most High is pleased with, proving foolish the wisdom of the wise. That all might find and know from the rising of the sun to the west, there's none else but the one Yah. Let me look at this point, my brothers and sisters. Like I said, for the scriptures, so say for The stone which the builders refused, 1822, becomes the chief stone of the corner. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that once a temple is building is built upon a faulty foundation, to build something that is steadfast, you got to tear down the whole building. Did you hear me? You got to tear down the whole building so you can set up a chief stone or a chief foundation, a solid foundation upon which all else can be built. 45,000 denominations creating a multitude of different temples. Idolatrous then temples, my brothers and sisters, not true to the fullness of the will of one, not true to all that is initial divine intent. I got news for you. There's a lot of scriptures that relate the idea, but these shall not stand. In fact, the Most High wants no reminder of all these. Well, in fact, they want no reminder for his people to be distracted after the false doctrines that were taught therein. This might sound hard to you, my brothers and sisters, but I see a whole lot of folks out there spending millions, millions, billions of dollars building great temples. But my brothers and sisters, it will be all for naught, for the Most High wants no reminders of these places that where men, rather than worshiping, are seeking him fully as he is, and not standing upon the foundation of a call from him, have compelled so many to unto damnation to worship devils. Something far from the hope of the gospel. Got a lot to speak about this, and I'm looking at my time. I got about 18 minutes. Well, I'm going to look at an excerpt from Isaiah 27:9. And it says, by this shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. I'm looking at Isaiah 27:9. It says, finally, to take away his sin. And it's talking about all the people of Yahweh. You think the pagans or the Gentiles have no law that they have to aspire to, but their flesh unto entrance into a holy kingdom? In Romans, he was talking to Gentiles too. He said, you subdue your flesh by the Spirit, else you will die. That means that there's a specific law unto a holy king and a holy kingdom. An opportunity to be called true to a people made righteous before the Most High unto a righteous orientation for peace. Time to understand the real. By this, it says, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, to take away his sin, when she'll make all the stones of the altars as chalk stones. You know what a chalk stone does when it hits the ground? Any of you ever been in a classroom and a teacher drops a piece of chalk? Hey, that's the end of that piece of chalk, isn't it? Well, I want you to look at this. Think about it. After the flood, in Noah's time, the Noahic flood, think about this. The pyramids were built before those times. There's still some markers of that still upon them to this day. Believe me, archaeologists know this. Sphinx, yeah. I want you to think about it. What did men do after the flood? Well, they went back and they sought to restore all those things that were before. And all it did, my brothers and sisters, was bring about a revival of Babylon and not its ultimate destruction. I can only tell you in the book of Enoch, it talks about what happened at the flood. The Most High did not see complete under the putting away of all sin. Wish I had time to talk about that, but there's an article. I said there's an article on my website, hiddengospel.com, Enoch excerpts. You need to check those out, hiddengospel.com, Enoch excerpts. And understand what is down there toward the eventuated end of all sin, which should be the faith of all, because if it's the end of all sin, the end of all confusion or fusion of contradiction. If you recognize that there will be an end of all that and there, therefore that misleads in life, what must you ask for? But wisdom from the Most High that you not be a partaker with liars. Those who oftentimes recognizing and are themselves upon faulty foundations will teach you a half-truth to create a pit in which you want you to fall, that they exploit you and never tell you the truth to get out. That's the nature of a liar. That's the nature of a deceiver. You said a faithful minister of Yahweh seeks to teach you all things. Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things. That all, after a pure and perfect standard, not polluted, might be one. Like I said, if it's partial standard, it's a multitude of divisions. Neglect not seeking the fullness of divine will is to take a false oath unto the curse against the faith rather than the upholding of it. Because the faith of Yah must be unto the salvation of making whole the soul unto good, whole, pure, perfect, complete works, which Yah has foreordained. Anything else is a curse. To be strangers to what builds and should be a constant expectation of the house of Israel. To be strangers to that, my brothers and sisters, unaware, is to be also estranged from the covenant of promise. And the scripture says to be without hope, without Yah, and in the world, that means still walking after the vicissitudes of it. Like I said, in Yaakov, it talked about the idea of be scattered among the nations. How about a multitude of denominations all teaching something different, lacking wisdom or discretion? Ask Yah! Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and man must prove or count it as a light to be granted instruction from the Most High and recognize it as a mercy that he might have an opportunity to gain instruction, that he might prove himself steadfast. Messiah did not give his life, my brothers and sisters, for man to be given instruction, to continually defy that instruction, not defending, not upholding his name. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How about maintain the course of his conscience? Did not say allow it to be perverted. Keep, preserve, maintain, defend it against all worldliness. And he said, I reveal myself to you. He didn't say he would reveal himself to those who cared not and would speak just about anything and call it him. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, it's time to deal with the real and understand with Messiah truly why he came. He said, those who believe in him, he gave him power to become sons of Yah. Okay, a lot of folks call themselves Hebrews 2,000 years ago. Did they believe in him? A lot of people call themselves Christians or believers today, and actually the term was not Christian. They took the true title from you, Kurdish Shania, the king of the east. Oh, they should have told you, Kur, son, Tis, rise, Shah, king. And you'd have known to look for the one called the righteous one from the east. This is Isaiah 41. The one that's called the king, I didn't say it singular, not plural, in Revelation 16, 12 through 21. While Messiah said he is that one, the written offspring of David, the bright morning star, that one like the rising sun that cast out all the darkness, because that, believe me, there are many who pretend to be. Luciferians, my brothers and sisters, who pretend to be. But the angels of darkness come as ministers of light. They will all be exposed because it will be proven as they die seek to bind all the testimony and seal all the law. And by which the scripture said, you don't speak according to a consummate word, no light in it. Look at Isaiah 8, chapter 16 to 20th verse and understand. So by this iniquity, I'm talking about Isaiah 27, 9, by this iniquity, shall this iniquity, or the iniquity of Yaakov be purged, and read the whole thing, this is all the fruit to take away his sin, or what is necessary to bear fruit in the taking away of sin, bringing forth something acceptable by unto Yah in the taking away of all that corrupts and divides. When he makes all the stones, in other words, get the point, his people must look upon whatever it is that have dissuaded the minds of his people, making all the stones of the altar, the temples, as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder. And the groves, talking about the idols and images that men have made, shall no longer stand. Yet the defense city, oh, you need to know what this is about. That's at Isaiah 25, 1 through 3, talking about the fortified city, city of confusion, that resisted the word of Messiah. Look at Zephaniah 3, chapter 1 through 4 in particular. When that city is overthrown, say the city of ruthless nation shall praise him. Sounds just like 16:12. Through 21 Revelation, my brothers and sisters, for it is latter-day prophecy. When that city is destroyed, it talks about people shall say, this is the Lord for whom we awaited, the righteous one for whom we awaited. We rejoice and be glad in the city of salvation. We wipe away all tears from off all eyes. We cast off the veil of blindness over all the nations. In other words, whatever it is that the rulers of the nations have sought to blind the people not to discover, they shall see, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. Because that which they had not considered, the people should be made to consider and discern intelligently. So who's going to believe and understand his report but those who know by faith to seek beyond this massive illusion? You look at all these things I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters. There's an article on the website, hiddengospel.com. Early church origin and mutual expectation. The city, secret city prophecies. You need it all. I promise you do. You see, if the defense city should be desolate, how about that city that men have sought to defend with a multitude of lies? Hey, seeking that no one should come along, hopefully, ever to understand beyond the mask of illusion. Defending themselves with a pack of lies against the truth. He said it should be desolate, habitation forsaken, left like a wilderness. Sounds so much like Revelation 18 about Great City Babylon. How about this entire system that would hide the truth? There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. Women shall come and set them on fire. In other words, it's going to be a place for, finally, that there's to be, well, let's put it like this, my brothers and sisters, it won't be men that inhabit it. For it, and why should this be? Because the places that men once looked at as great temples should be like the wilderness again. You tear down all the temples and you leave only the grass and wilderness to grow. He said it's because there was a people there of no understanding. Therefore, he who made them will not have mercy upon them. He that formed them will show them no favor. It's going to pass in that day the Lord should beat off, Most High should beat off the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt. You need to go back and look at Isaiah 11. It talks about one who comes a second time to bring his people out of what was the Medo-Persian Empire. Yeah, you need to understand the second time. Who did that before? The root and the stem of Jesse. It talks about drying up the rivers of Egypt. People are on the highway from Egypt to Assyria. Same thing said in Revelation 19 about that city of destruction. It'll be overthrown, in which he will send a savior. The people make a vow to the Most High again that there will be peace between all nations. Remember, Assyria was to the north, Egypt to the south. Israel made a blessing in the midst of the land. It's symbolic of world peace. He said, in that day shall a great trumpet be blown, which shall come, which are ready to perish in the land of Assyria, where Israel had been scattered. Because in Isaiah's time, already the tribes had been scattered. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, these scriptures are talking about a time when all should be reconciled into the world of one. He said, those who will perish in the land of Syria and those who are outcast in the land of Egypt shall worship the Most High in the holy mount of Jerusalem. In fact, they all nations be reconciled into the world of one. Why didn't that tell you about these things? Come on, my people. Let's understand the real of what must occur to establish a holy kingdom where the scriptures say in Zephaniah 3:13, his people shall speak no lies, do no iniquity, and there shall be none. How about internally or externally to harm them? How many can consider, my brothers and sisters, what kind of temple, what kind of temple the righteous one will build? That must prove foolish the wisdom of the wise. Hey, a lot of folks have said the wages of sin, all these divisions, is life. But the scripture says the wages of sin is death. You need to realize what is sin is whatever divides the people against the perfect will of Yah. Some people have been taught that sin is simply what you do during your lifetime, as if the orientations of this world decide what is sin. No, there's only one Savior and there's only one Judge, and He declared the difference from the beginning. Men have oftentimes taught simply the putting away of punishment for sin, heaven help us, rather than discerning that the ruling system, the lies of this world that divide its people are sin, not salvation, cannot make anything whole. Salvation, healed, made whole. Why do you put salve on a wound but that it might be healed? Save me and I shall be saved, it says, and heal me and I shall be healed. Understand the concept. The world needs a savior, my brothers and sisters. The ancient concept of a savior is one who make the people whole that they might have peace. The Hebrew word for peace, salvation, and completion relate to the same concept. Purity and completion offers one choice, a multitude of partialities, and neglectfulness are a curse. And the scripture says, though some who don't seek that perfect will of Yah, in Philippians 2, and it says, I tell you with tears, their enemies against the very reason why Messiah gave his life. And certainly gave his life, I hope you understand this, to put away the folly of all the misrule of all the nations. He said, unto him it's been given authority. And those, my brothers and sisters, who would seek to erase that authority given from on high to sustain the impure perceptions of the nations, baptizing in vain and still being led by the rulers, well, doesn't even make sense, my brothers and sisters. Not unto a holy kingdom or to a holy one who does not change and will not be destabilized by the misconceits of man. Like I said, all these motives of institutions are the sins that you must overcome. All the partialities and lies after those still possessed with deviations is what you must overcome. And it can only be overcome, my brothers and sisters. You can only overcome a false prophet who teaches lies by asking the Spirit of the Most High that you become a prophet yourself. You really need to understand that. But Messiah will come to make sure that the deceivers, I hope you get this, my brothers and sisters, that the deceivers will be no more. Because many of they, like the scripture said, not all have heard the preaching of the gospel, and yet they pretend to call upon the Most High. They pretend to establish a way of righteousness for men. All they do is set up obstacles because they compel men after partialities not to seek the greater truth. 45,000 denominations, all declaring something different, misleading the people unto the will of one. What scripture says? The leaders of the people cause them to howl, act irrationally, refusing to reason. But it says how beautiful it will be. Yes, indeed, how beautiful it will be. It says in Isaiah 52, the feet, the dominion of him who comes to preach good tidings. Did you hear me, brothers and sisters? He will come to preach good tidings. How about the whole word? To declare after a pure, perfect word, Yah has all that he is, reigns. Wow. How many of my brothers and sisters are ready to understand this? How many are ready to understand? Because the truth of the matter, what must be, Most High is not going to change from his word. He is not going to deny anything that he spoke. And that scripture we just looked at, talking about him grinding up the, let's just say, casting down all the false temples. For those of you who don't know that ancient history, in the days, for instance, of the king Hosiah, you need to consider how these words parallel that I'm about to read to you, that are at 1 Kings. Let's see if I can find it for you very quickly. Let's see if I can find this for you. Let's see here. Give me just a moment. Here it is, 2 Kings 23, I already had that, 23:26. That's one good place. Let's see, is that 2 Kings 23? Not quite what I was looking for, not yet. How about 23:20? And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. That's one place. I can only tell you, let's see, talking about the altars of Bethel. I can only tell you in the midst of these scriptures, Second Kings 23:12, one other place, talking about the destruction of the altars which Manasseh had made. Cut them down, cast the dust of them into the Brook Kindred. 23:14, and break in pieces the images and cut down the groves and fill their places with the bones of men. I'm talking about 2 Kings 23:14. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, 23, I need to make sure this is plain. 2 Kings 23:15. Moreover, the altar which was at Bethel in the high place, which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, and made both the altar and the high places, he broke those down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove of the images. 2 Kings 23:16. I put down 26 as a mistype in the orientation to the show. Let me quickly try to set that straight. That's supposed to be Jeremiah, or, excuse me, 2 Kings 23:16. If I can correct that quickly, you need to look at what that has to say and compare it to the 27th chapter of Isaiah. Just one example. Do you think the Most High wants the preservation of anything that has led his people astray? 23:16, Isaiah turned himself and he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it, according to the word of the Most High, which the man of Yah proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Now, brothers and sisters, you think that such as this the Most High does or commands to be done for such souls to be resurrected, made whole, saved? Because think about it. They talk about the inheritance of the land. Again, Scripture says, what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Nothing in which to inhabit it. That word for soul does not talk about his spirit. It talks about his physical body that is talking about a resurrection. It's time to understand, my brothers and sisters, what was the conscience of ancient Israel with regard to these things. Because, like I said, they don't want you to think about the idea that the kingdoms of this world have to fall in order to establish a holy kingdom, because man seeking to preserve otherwise has seriously done so much to thwart the right perception of the mind. All the money people spend, wow. Do they not understand what is the fate of their churches, which to this day have refused the chief cornerstone? How about the chief cornerstone, who's also called a nail in the battle bow? We talk about Zechariah 10. I said Zechariah 10 and 13. Yes, Zechariah 10th chapter and the 13th chapter. We talk about the cornerstone, Messiah being the cornerstone, hey, that the world is rejected to this day. What is it? What is it? What truth is it, brothers and sisters, the Messiah, as the world still to this day denied? That Isaiah 28 says men will find out the reason why he has to restore a foundation. Because not all have even had what was necessary. Not only not enough to understand, begin to understand his word, but certainly not enough even to begin to mature. That's all in Isaiah 28. Say, he hears my words and obeys them. How about who understands them as a wise man? What about those who have the words and just slander them? Have they been set free from the deceiver, or are they also the deceiver themselves? See, many cry out, Lord, Lord, and call them false prophets, but not to perform a teacher, not even have what is necessary to fully comprehend or preach the will of the Father. Many will come in that day, then did we not in your name preach? Wow, what authority did they preach under? Who was their teacher? Did not in your name preach? Your name cast out devils? How about illusions and false doctrine? Your name doing it wonderful or inspired? That's what the word wonderful there means. Marvelous and inspired, marvelous and inspired work. Messiah said, keep away from me. Well, I can see him now running. Hey, I know you. No, you don't. Keep away from me. I never knew you. In other words, all that you did were the works of iniquity. And guess what? I didn't teach you any of that. For a lot of folks, my brothers and sisters, who just simply just trusted in the multitude of pluralities in this world, it's going to be truly a shout. One scripture calls Messiah the hidden one. He said many be greatly ashamed. Why? Because the hidden one, or let's just say the secrets of the Most High, the most sacred secrets of the Most High, hidden to the carnal mind. A lot of folks are going to find out too late that they function very carnally. Most High told me for all that he has said, to know what is said and not know why, it's a missed point. There's a need, my brothers and sisters, with all that he has said, realize this is the mind of a great one. And only, my brothers and sisters, by his inspiration is possible to comprehend all beyond all the misconceits this world has told. Heaven help us, my brothers and sisters, to understand what these scriptures are really talking about conjunctively. I'm telling you again, you really need those prophecies. Those words that I put on my website, and they relate a lot of that, those precious stones. Precious words, because they are very rare. The Most High told me the words that I'm granting to you now are very precious, but they're only for the most humble soul. He said, the gospel of the kingdom, which is not the words of the kingdom of this world. He said it's to the meek. Those who think after this world, after the orientation of this world, the ways of this world, they are wise. Scripture says plainly in 1 Corinthians, in a man consider himself wise or discerning after an indiscriminately divisive world. That's what it's saying. Let him consider himself a fool, deceived, that he might become wise. It says, the apostle himself said, I know nothing which I'm guilty or falling short. But I might not be right in this. Hey, the word for foolish, fallen, look at the words. Foolish, fallen, false. FL, FL, FL. Come on now. Fallacy. Come on, people. Catch on to the wheel. Oh, heaven help us. Time to catch on to the deal, the real deal. All this fallen state has to be overcome. All of it must be returned to what was in the beginning before the fall, my brothers and sisters. Discern the real. That's the overcoming of the world and all the divisions that are in it. Scripture said, if man consider himself wise in this world, let him consider himself a fool and may become wise. The apostle said, I know nothing which I'm guilty, falling short. But I might not be right in this, my judge. He says, ultimately speaking, in the coming of Messiah. He said, let every man then not consider himself so wise and fully discerning before the time. When Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things which men have not considered. And then should every man know how to praise Yah. For those who want to know about the scriptures calling himself the hidden, well, the scriptures call him the hidden one. I'm talking about Isaiah 45:15-16. I'm talking about the first verses of the 49th chapter of Isaiah. And I'm also talking about the scripture in 41:25 that calls and it says, I stood at one from the north and from the rising of the sun. The word for north there is Sathar, Kathar. And it means hidden. I stood at one from the north, one who is hidden to the world. One the world, my brothers and sisters, also hid from themselves. And because of him, when the truth that he has is revealed, the princes will be trodden down like mortar in the pot of treads clay, proven foolish, even an abomination, not a formation after the will of Yah, because they could not discern what was declared of old and what is indeed by all the prophets and by the Spirit of Yah is revealed to come. So it's time, my brothers and sisters, to understand why the scripture says in Revelation 1:7, when he appears, all the nations of the earth shall wail. Matthew 24:13, when they see the sign of the Son of Man and they understand that he is present, the nations of the earth shall mourn. Why? Because they all shall recognize what they have refused and rejected. What is it, my brothers and sisters? Will a partial concept of Messiah deliver and save anyone? You need to think again, my brothers and sisters. It's time that men understand that it is a conscience that the Most High restores. And he restores those, my brothers and sisters, who have attained that conscience. I know that they've taught you about the idea about clouds, like he comes with a cloud. You really think that's something coming out of the sky? Scripture talks about a cloud of witnesses or a cloud of testimonies. How about a cloud that tests? In other words, think about it. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, talking about they're all baptized in the under the same cloud. They all follow the same rock, and the rock was Messiah. But brothers and sisters, those scriptures are talking not about clouds in the sky, as much as anciently men looked at the heavens and saw them as signs of what is to come, as an indicator of what is going on high, what is to come. When scripture says, behold, he comes with swift clouds, for instance, in Isaiah 19, he comes with a swift testimony, that all shall see the God together as the glory of the Most High, that all men shall see his glory eye to eye. The watchman shall see and shall speak eye to eye. Why? Because words that were like voices crying in the wilderness that no one will hear will finally at last be heard. And that's why the scripture says they will wait for him, shall renew their strength. Talking about the people growing weary not to discern a word that is wise. And all nations being like to him, like a drop in a bucket, simply because they had all spoken vanity, worthlessness. You think of, if even whole nations reject the word of Yah, if a whole world reject the word of Yah, then Yah is going to change what he has said. Scripture says, if a whole world be a liar, let Yah be true. Isn't it time we understand the real? Like I said, Hebrews 12 talks with a cloud of witnesses. Okay, the scripture says, behold, it comes with a cloud. How about a testimony from on high? Isaiah 19 talks about, because of that testimony, there's going to be a revolution, my brothers and sisters. And I'll pray I got time enough to talk to you about that. Much scripture about that in Revelation 14. So much so as it says that when the gospel is revealed again, those who will be taken the marks of the beast, the standards of the nations, shall be taken the wrath of Almighty Yah. Wow, that sounds like there's going to be a revolution. It talks about kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation, city against city. That is internal strife. Book of Luke is the only one that talks about when they said nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, rumors of wars, it talks about revolution there. Need to think about it. Revolution because of a revelation. Don't be tricked by a few misplaced vowels. Time to understand the real, my brothers and sisters. Distraction from this truth is your destruction. Wake up and understand the real. Any word that keeps you idle and stagnant, not seeking the greater word, my brothers and sisters, IDLE, is a false doctrine. It's an IDOL. Need to understand, my brothers and sisters, much of what people call standard language and spelling is something that evolved over time. It's a good thing to go back and read sometimes some documents from ages long before your so-called Webster's Dictionary and understand the shifting of language. Because let me tell you something, the wages of sin, my brothers and sisters, the wages of subjection of those who lie to you is not life. The wages of sin, my brothers and sisters, is demise. You die without what is lawful. And a multitude of diverse rules after the flesh is not lawful. It's not order. Only one law that is lawful, one law, a law that brings forth peace, it is the law of the Most High Yah. Think about it. Shall any temple in which the people were invoked unto hatred against the greater truth of Yah call themselves sons, but hating instruction? Read Isaiah 30. Shall they stand? The scripture says they should be broken like the breaking of a potter's vessel, without pity. Still sound like the same word. Not just the physical temples, my brothers and sisters, they call buildings made of wood and stone. But my brothers and sisters, also the vessels that will not be purged, and will seek to still preserve the illusions of men. Shall any temple which is invoked hatred against Yah deceive against the righteousness of Yah yet stand? It's time to learn, my brothers and sisters, to repent while they discern what is repentance while there's time, and anticipate even greater repentance, anticipating beyond self. Because believe me, the selfishly ambitious soul will only see the wrath of the Most High. All, it says concerning him, all that incensed against him shall be ashamed. Scripture speaks about one who shall build that temple in Isaiah 44:20-25:6. Like I said, he will prove foolish the wisdom of the wise. He will prove what men have trusted to be falsehood. He will make all the so-called counsel of those that men call wise prove foolish, because it will not be their counsel that is performed, but that which Yah from the beginning has declared. For he comes saying, from the beginning, from the creation, there am I to show you the way that you should go. What about the scripture saying that he will bring a restitution, a restoration of all things, refreshing of all things, the times of refreshing of all things, according to all the Most High spoke by his holy prophet since world began? That is an unwavering law. It is a perfect light. Those, my brothers and sisters, who don't have that anticipation have not sought the salvation of Yah, but have already sworn false vows. My brothers and sisters, none who swears deceitfully prepares for the kingdom of Yah. Watch out, my brothers and sisters, for every deceitful word that causes you to be deceived, unable to perceive. Every lie man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater truth. It establishes a false god. You say you should have no other gods. How about to blind your mind not to see him? All understand that Yah is one. Must love him with all their minds and seek him with all their minds, heart, soul, and might. On the redemption of all that is their minds, hearts, and souls. Do you think that which causes a man, my brothers and sisters, to function double-mindedly after instability, the Most High preserves unto the instability of others? Hear me, my brothers and sisters, if you walk after the flesh, the instability, the misrule, the misinstruction, the arrogance and selfish and greedy ambitions of the flesh, the presumptions of the flesh, you will die. But if you subdue the flesh by the Spirit, you will live, and blessed are they who will understand it. My brothers and sisters, Messiah comes to prove foolish to those who are wise. Scripture says he is called the Shepherd of the Most High. He restores what is righteous foundation. In fact, the Spirit has why to say he restores foundation forever as deliverer. When the scriptures talk about one who, in Isaiah 45:6, he will cause it to be known from the rising sun to the west, there's none else but Yah. Isaiah 59 says the same thing, talking about all those who cause men to be deceived, who lift up a standard against them. They may know from the west to the rising sun. Concerning, my brothers and sisters, that covenant that gives glory unto Yah, that covenant shall not depart from the mouth nor the descendants, henceforth forever. You ever stop to consider the multitude of different denominations and churches have only taught people to defy that pure, perfect word and cause men to defy the covenant and think they were wise? Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we understand the real? Isaiah 24 says all this again at a city, and they say they will cry out from the west concerning the righteous man and glorify him in the rising of the sun in the east. They put down in some of your texts, they talk about the fires and sea. Well, think about it. My brothers and sisters, the word for sea in Hebrew is west. The fires, talking about light, where the light shines forth, is the east. The east was known as the place of light, the west, the darkness. And the scripture says, my brothers and sisters, in the last days his sons will come trembling from the west. Indeed, as a lion he will roar, and his sons will come trembling from the west. Hosea, my brothers and sisters, you need to understand, where is that city of destruction? You need, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you need that article on my website. Hosea 11:10, I was talking about the article on my website, is called The Secret City Prophecies. Promise you need every bit of it. Every bit of it. Nothing like it. And for many, that would be the hope of their souls. What is the stone which the builders rejected? What did I tell you about the one called the cornerstone? Messiah is that cornerstone. The nail, Isaiah 22, talked about the son of Hilkiah. They put down Eliakim. Eliakim means the God of raising. He whom Yah will raise up. Yes, even Messiah himself, my brothers and sisters, it says, whoever it was then that before was established and seen to be firm, sure place, will be taken down, and the kingdom and the girdle of sovereignty will be given into his hands. The nail that was seemingly firm and sure place should be taken down, and my brothers and sisters, the governor should be put upon the shoulder of him who is steadfast. Understand Isaiah 11, my brothers and sisters, the prophecy When they're talking about the cornerstone, the nail, and the battle bolt. Revelation 6 chapter, Revelation 19 chapter, also has the same inference. Scripture says that Messiah, the righteous one, from the one called the righteous one from the east, the king of the east. You need to understand when he says, "Behold, I come." Talking about the king of the east, talking about the drying up the rivers for the king of the east. That, in other words, men becoming suspicious of their various governing bodies. Kingdoms beginning to, let's just say, the seeming security of them falling. That men might prepare for a greater kingdom, knowing that there's something better has got to be up. Preparing for the king of the east and says, "Behold, I come." The king of the east is Messiah Yeshua, my brothers and sisters. It's time to understand the real. Like I said, no partial concept of him will deliver. Why did they tell you Messiah and all the prophets concerning him as the son of righteousness who arises, Malachi 2? The angel from the rising sun of the king of the east. It means the same thing, translation, angel is king. Rising the east, hey, rising sun, king of the east, prince of glory, light. Revelation 7:2. Why did they tell you about the prophecies that 51st chapter of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, talking about the king of the Medes? Why did they tell you who that is? That by whom Babylon will fall once and forever. 51:11, 51:28. Why did they tell you about those things? Like I said, everything on my website that speaks of these things, I promise you need them. Word of Yah is line upon line, precept upon precept, meaning that to discern him well is to see how all these things that he has spoken work together. Many say they read the words and can tell you it learned by rote, but can they tell you why it is said? Because there's a platform upon which all these words stand. And the Most High knew from the beginning all that he would do. And to discern that foundation is to see how all the pieces fall into place and how they all work toward one eventuality. That is the word of Yah. In the beginning was this word. It is in harmony with what the Most High declared from the beginning. And that word is eternal. Blessed then, my brothers and sisters, those who will understand it. With regards to the revolution, heaven help us, that the scriptures speak of, and most would dare never tell you about it. Heaven help us. With regard to that revolution, I would call your attention. Like I said, it needs to discern, my brothers and sisters. 45,000 partialities is Babylon. It is confusion. It is not true to the spirit of one. 45,000 partialities and pollution, snaring the souls of men, knowing not to prepare for the Son of Man who reproves all the kings, priests, and all those who have spoken a false word. Not to prepare you for that, my brothers and sisters. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 41, men are going to find out that they're so busy in their greed upholding their various kingdoms, they've not preached the good tidings, the whole word. And he said, "I looked upon men and saw there was none who, if I asked a question, could give an answer." And look at the word for answer there. It means none who would declare that the solution is to perceive the word as it was from the starting point, from the beginning. That's how they get you to validate a fallen standard, my brothers and sisters. Because, frankly, what are all the institutions but the result of a fall? They haven't been perfect and complete after what was declared from the beginning. Therefore, they have not given respect, reverence, reference point to be in the F of the same. They have not given respect to a reference point that would cause men to revere the one Most High. Because guess what? Anytime you feel like you can change his rule and his laws, wow. Who you say, my brothers and sisters, is the Most High in such a case? Like I say, they figure like if they could forge the holy name upon all their lives and men believe the lies rather than the truth, they feel they make themselves God and they subjugated the Most High himself. That's the kind of insanity, my brothers and sisters, that is taught among these demon worshipers. Believe me. Believe me, my brothers and sisters. I've been approached by some to listen to some of their rhetoric. Some of those who would shut down the minds. And if you listen to them, you recognize they're doing the same thing that was done in the Garden of Eden, tricking people to believe if men turn against the command of the Most High, if they shall be gods, declaring their own ways, dip the end result of it as a blessing. I used to think there was a lyric to a song, my brothers and sisters. Some of you might remember Crosby, Stills, and Nails. I thought the lyrics were saying something like that. Is it going to a land which Yah has shown us? We are stardust, we are golden. We're fields of the earth, is what I thought he was saying. Got to get ourselves back to the garden. Well, let's just say, put it like this, my brothers and sisters. Repentance beyond all that God has kicked out of the garden and returning to the fullness of that word which the builders of these temples have rejected. That's what will get us back to the garden. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. I want you to hear me. Messiah is that one called the King of the East, the King of the Medes, the righteous one from the East. They put down in your Bible Cyrus. Well, let me tell you something. His kingdom, by many today, the old Medo-Persian Empire, is called Kurdistan, Kingdom of the Kurds. For a very powerful reason, because his title was not Cyrus. His term was the Kurdi, the tribe of the Kurds from which Israel, or even let's just say Abraham was a Kurd. Those of us who understand the truth, hey, look up what they say is the closest genetic haplotype to the Jew. And they tell you it is the Kurd. Abraham was a Kurd. Look at the land where he came from. I understand, my brothers and sisters. We're not talking about long after the days of Noah. I pray that some of you will catch on, my brothers and sisters. I understand the real. Because quite frankly, the scriptures talk about a time, like I said to you before. There's a reason why you must understand what the scripture says, the day will come, that it will be said in a day that the gospel is restored, according to Revelation 14. You see, remember it says that 144,000 have the name of the Father upon their brows because they hearkened to him. They overcame the world and all his lies. Most I'm not going to sign his name to anybody's illusions. There's a reason why the scripture says, blessed are they who die in the Most High from henceforth. Blessed then are those, my brothers and sisters. Well, think about it this way. There's some right now who were called for the express purpose to begin to prepare for the coming of the Son of Man who reproves all the kings, who have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, recognizing that blood is symbolic of somebody or something having been murdered. And will repent beyond all the rulers. Because think about it. When they realized that they had been subject to a priesthood under Rome that despised the idea of a Jewish king, Rome coming in some few decades before the birth of Messiah, slaughtering all the priests and setting up a priesthood that said they had no king but Caesar. Some people realize they need to repent beyond this. This is the doctrine they say Christ crucified. I, quite frankly, I know that word Christ is Greek and doesn't relate to the point of one that was called anciently, if you will. I hope you understand the Kurdi, the Seosian. The right
90 seconds
teaches man how to transcend all unrighteousness, how to transcend all the darkness and come into the light. The reason why the scripture says, blessed are they who die in the Most High from henceforth. Some will be sealed to be preserved through that time. But some, my brothers and sisters, will come through the hard way in a time of great revolution in this earth. Blessed they will die in the Most High from henceforth. But some, my brothers and sisters, in the midst of that turmoil, will not survive. But the scriptures talk about those who gained white robes that came out of that great tribulation. As both the tribulation that we're currently dealing with right now, in the midst of a persecuted world that will destroy the souls. Because let me tell you something. Every single nation on this earth that will defy the pure, perfect will of the Most High has compelled men to worship false gods. Wake up and understand it. It's time, my brothers and sisters, to understand what would be necessary, because those who have, when scripture says, been diligent, desire of Yah has been there, if you will, they're craving in the night. Look at 26th chapter of Isaiah. Look at 2 Peter, 1st chapter. Daniel 12:10. All these scriptures talking about the blessing unto those who are diligent now. Blessed are they who come to him early. And some folks are going to have to learn the hard way. Two-thirds of humanity will perish in the midst of this this refined thing. But those, my brothers and sisters, who are found worthy at first, they will be preserved. Blessed are they who will understand it. They tell me I got about 1 second left. Heaven help us. My brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. Yes, indeed. I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And to His praise and honor always, my brothers and sisters. I thank you all for listening. Hallelujah! As we prepare for a holy temple and a holy kingdom in the making and welcoming in our souls all the discipline the Most High gives that we might be true to Him. Heaven help us, Father. Pray for our people, for the Shema that you will hear, the prayer that you will hear, is that all recognize that you are one and not divided after the misconceits of men. Blessed then are those who know beyond the world to seek you and to directly seek your face. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for everything you give to teach your people. I thank you for every bit of guidance you grant, every bit of reason you give that your people might stand upon a pure foundation. To your majesty, to your glory, to your honor. Yes, indeed, hallowed be thy name, that thy kingdom come. On earth.